Revelation chapter 11, verses 15 through 17. It's not up here, so we can just forget that. In fact, we can do this with that. Ha! Yes! 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 And Emmanuel, you can come sit with your father if you want to. Amen. Or you can stay there. Amen. Revelation chapter 11, verses 15 through 17. Revelation chapter 11, verses 15 through 17. Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet. There were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world, the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." While that is futuristic in the book of Revelation, it is present in the now. Jesus is king right now. Right now, he's king and Lord over all things. It may not look like it. It may not sound like it. You may not see it, but it is. John saw it in the text we read and in the first chapter of the book of Revelation. And he saw the return of the Lord to this earth. And he saw, more importantly, the coronation of Jesus as King of Kings. Something you and I are going to see. Loud voices in heaven. King Jesus glorified, Son of Man, returning as Lord of all. Remember what he said to the women at the tomb? He said, "I don't want you to touch me, because I've not yet returned to my Father," but he returned to his Father. How do I know? He said, "You'll know when I get to glory, when you're in the upper room, until you're endued with power. When the power comes, you'll know I've arrived." Glory be to God. The power fell. Tongues as a fire set on each of them. They spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, according to the book of Acts. And they knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that he had arrived. They went out in power, they went out in glory, and they shook the whole then known world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was said of them, the Sanhedrin said of them, "Those that shake the world have come here." They perceived that they were ignorant and unlearned men, but they took knowledge they had been with Jesus. When I'm with Jesus, the world should take notice that I've been with Jesus. Amen? The kingdom of this world. Notice, kingdom. Not kingdoms, kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign, rule forever and ever. Verse 16, the 24 elders who sat on their thrones before God, that's you and me, fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, "We give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, who is, who was, and who has taken your great power and begun to reign." Let me assure you this morning, I cannot crown Jesus as King of Kings. He already is. Let me say that again. I cannot crown Jesus King of Kings. He already is King of Kings. Absent of anything I do, he's still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Regardless of what the world thinks and says, he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords this morning. He already is, and he ever shall be. The Father has received him once again in glory. The Father has crowned him Lord and King over all things and had given him power. Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 through 20, and chapter 2, 9 and 10. "For in him all fullness of the Godhead was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. For in him the whole fullness of the deity dwells bodily. And you," I love this, "have been filled in him who is head over all rule and over all authority." Paul had that vision. Listen to what he says in Ephesians chapter 1, 16 through 23. "I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in knowledge, in the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, and that you may know what is the hope to which you have been called. Oh, glory be to God. And what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints? What is the immeasurable greatness of His power towards us? God's power is not just power for anything. It's power for you and for me. It's power for me. To those who believe according to the working of His great might, that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion. Washington, D.C., understand me this morning. Every legislature in every nation on planet Earth, every two-bit dictator on planet Earth, understand me this morning. He is above all rule and authority on this earth. He's above all power and dominion on this earth. He's above every name that is named, hallelujah, not only in this age, but in the age to come. Glory be to God.
Amen.
That's who He is. And then, Paul says, He didn't just have this power above everything, just for no reason at all. He put all things under His feet and gave Him as head over all things to the church. Ha ha ha! He put all things under His feet. Stamp your feet right there this morning. He's under my feet. He's under my feet. Glory, He's under my feet. I went to the devil's camp and I took back what he took from me. It's under my feet. It's under my feet. Oh, glory to God, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills it all in all. Now, we can stop painting Him. It irks me every time I see a painting of Jesus. You can stop painting Him and thinking of Him as a meek and mild Nazarene at the door of your heart, waiting for you to make Him Lord of your life. See, He is no longer the rejected Son of Man. He's the King of glory. He came out of the tomb 2,000 years ago in all the power of the resurrection. He ascended to His eternal throne. He took all power and dominion and is right this very moment reigning in all power over all principality, over all kingdoms of this universe. The last enemy, the Bible says, has been defeated. The last enemy is death, and He's made death His footstool. Now, we're living in difficult times, right? We're facing an election that is paramount. We're going to talk about that when I talk about what I was going to preach on this morning. Because truth cannot be recognized in our nation. How many believe that? How many have seen that? Truth can't be recognized in our nation. Nobody knows what truth is. Because if you don't have the Lord as your Savior, you can't recognize truth and you can't live in truth. Because there's only two governing powers in this world. The power of God and the power of Satan. And if you're not governed by the power of God, you're governed by the power of Satan. That's why everything's all messed up. Because Satan has no ability other than to mess everything up. The Bible says he came to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he came for. But God is in control. The last enemy's been defeated. He's made provision for us. See, my past has been defeated. How many believe that?
Amen.
I must realize that the victory's been won. It's a past tense activity. It's not a present activity. It's not a future activity. It's a past tense event. The victory has been won. If death is the final enemy, then all enemies have been defeated. Jesus is not involved, hear me, He's not involved in a hand-to-hand combat with Satan this morning. The battle is finished. He has won the victory. There is no more battle. The reason I have a battle in myself is because I allow flesh to be predominant in what I do and the way I think. When I can get flesh and kill it, then there will be no more battle. Glory. There'll be no more battle. Satan's been defeated. The Lord has thrown him out in utter disgrace and defeat. Jesus' heel was wounded and he has stepped on Satan's head. Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 through 9. Now war arose in heaven. Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back. And he was defeated. And there was no longer any place for them in heaven. The great dragon was thrown down, the ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. He disarmed the rulers and the authorities and put them to open shame, triumphing over them in him. And then Revelation 12, 10, I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now is salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brother has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before God. See, we still have people on this planet. I feel sorry for them because they're quite ignorant, to be honest with you, who consider the idea that they're going to allow little Jesus into their heart. Well, if he just gives me this, then I'll allow him to do that. If he just treats me right like this, then I'll give him a place in my heart. I might even allow him to be crowned king of my life. Well, good little Jesus, if you play your cards right and you're good to me, then I just might let you in. If you give me happiness, and if you heal me, if you answer some of my prayers, if you give me one or two signs or miracles, then maybe I'll let you in and crown you Lord of my life. How ridiculous this morning. How blind. Here is Jesus. Hear me. You can just close your eyes for a minute and visualize. Here is Jesus sitting on his throne with all his impressive power and glory, with all the hosts of heaven bowing down before him and worshiping him. And here is God the Father giving him all the power of the deity, wrapping it all up in him. And to top it all off, there's a wounded, beat up, defeated, and all abused and almost killed devil with his tail between his legs, running from the presence of God, no longer can stand in his presence. And then we got a bunch of lukewarm, half-hearted, half-blind, carnal Christians and a multitude of half-decided sinners thinking that they might do God a favor by letting him reign over their lives. What foolishness! When with one small breath and a flick of his finger, he could blow every kingdom away and dissolve this earth in the power of the melting elements. That's what he could do. Isaiah 40. I'd preach a sermon on this. Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket, are accounted as the dust on the scales before he takes up the coastlands like fine dust. All nations are as nothing before him, Isaiah said. They are counted by him as less than nothing and emptiness. Putin thinks he's something. Biden thinks he's something. Schumer thinks he's something. Pelosi thinks she's something. They're nothing before God. If you don't know him as Savior, you're nothing. You're destined for death. Eternal death. Not physical death, eternal death. And then there's this present. We not only have the past, but we have the present. I must realize that God's glory is here and now. Turn to somebody and say, you're the glory of God. That's what John 17 says. We are the glory of God. I want you to think of that a minute. Get in front of your mirror when you get home. Look in there and say, yeah, Peter, you're the glory of God. Hallelujah. You don't have to say that too much. We'll break out talking in tongues and jumping and shouting. When you realize what God has invested in us, hallelujah. We are His glory, hallelujah. We are His likeness, hallelujah. We are His children, hallelujah. We are His church this morning. We are His bride this morning. Glory be to God. What I'm saying is not only will Jesus reign forever in heaven, but He's reigning right now over all things because all enemies have been defeated. Right now. It seems like we sometimes suffer from blindness. Because that's what the devil does. If he can keep us from seeing the reality of the real glory of God and the real glory of Jesus, then we can't see Him reigning over everything. And we become discouraged because we think that the end of the game is in doubt. It's not in doubt. It's kind of like when the Patriots were playing in the Super Bowl. The end was never in doubt. We have to understand this thing has been etched in time. It's done. It's finished. Glory be to God. When He said it is finished, it was finished. No more struggle. No more difficulty. Yeah, tribulation, yes, but victory in tribulation. Hallelujah. If I was never sick, I wouldn't know He couldn't heal. When I told that doctor in Venezuela, San Cristobal, Venezuela, when I told him, you say I've got to be in this hospital no less than 30 days, in 7 days I'm going to walk out of here. And then I kicked myself all the way back to the dorm that I didn't tell him I was walking out tomorrow. Because I would have. And when he came in 7 days later, after laughing at me when I said I was leaving, and he said to me, we took blood yesterday. I said, yeah, they came in here and they took it once, and then they came back and took it twice, and then they came back and took it a third time, and they wanted to take it again. And I said, you can't have any. And they said, we got a problem down there in the lab. The blood that's got your name on it has no evidence that it ever had the infection of hepatitis in it. I said, suck it all out. Glory be to God. They came back in and they said, we don't know what happened. I do! We can't understand this. Your liver was infected. It was swollen. It is all whole. It looks brand new this morning. I said, I know what happened. Hallelujah. The king that sits on the throne that reigns walked down in this hospital in Venezuela, San Cristobal, and he touched my body and I was healed. Glory be to God. Amen. It's now. It's now. But the devil wants to blind us. The devil would have had me think as we got to the hospital and I sat, I love government health insurance. That hospital stay didn't cost me a red cent. But in order to get my room, I sat on the floor in the hallway from 10 in the morning till 6 at night. That's government. They didn't even give me a chair. That government insurance couldn't even afford a folding chair for me to sit in. When I got my room, the power of God was demonstrated. But the devil, as I sat there, tried to make me think this is it. I weighed 85 stinking little pounds. And I was the same size I am right now. They didn't take x-rays of me. They stood me in front of the window. I played hide and go seek. They would finish counting and I'd turn sideways and they couldn't see me. That's how bad it was. And the devil would come to me like he comes to you. And he would say, look at your present circumstance. Observe your body. Analyze the situation you're in. This is the end. You can't do anything. I had to get my eyes off my present situation and put them on the one sitting on the throne. When you put them on the one sitting on the throne, glory be to God, it changes the way you feel. See? And we allow that. The devil to blind us and we're not able to see that Jesus is reigning right now. It might be because of unbelief. See, that's what caused Israel from going into the promised land. It was unbelief. We can't do this. Look at what they said. We are in our own eyes as grasshoppers. And they're giants. We can't do. They forgot about the Red Sea dividing. They forgot about water coming out of the rock. They forgot about the fresh baked bread that they were just reaching outside the tent and bringing it on in, called manna, that came down every single morning. They forgot that when they wanted fresh meat, the birds crashed in the campground. They forgot everything, God. They forgot that their clothes were not getting old and didn't even stink of perspiration odor. They forgot that their shoes did not wear out. They didn't see the power of God in the present because of unbelief. See? Exodus 33. The Lord said to them, verse 21 through 23, "Behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock." He's talking to Moses. "I will cover you with my hand until I pass by, and I will take away my hand. You shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." The law couldn't make Moses' face shine, but when God passed by, hallelujah. The Bible said he came down off the mountain and his face shone. The Lord passed by, Exodus 34, 6 and 7, and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation." The people of Israel couldn't stand the reflection of God's glory in Moses' face. They needed his face to be covered by a veil because they were afraid. The glory of God in their face condemned their unbelieving heart. When I go into the presence of the Lord and I feel a twinge of fear, I go to the cross. Are you hearing me? I want to get rid of all unbelief. I want to get rid of all sin. I want to get rid of all doubt. See, they were willing to worship God from a distance. Paul described it like this. 1 Corinthians 3, he says, "Their minds were hardened. Their minds were hardened. For to this day, when they read the old covenant, the same veil remains uplifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart." That's what's wrong with the Jews right now. They still have that veil. But then what about us? Be careful. The veil is taken away in Christ. Christ restores my sight. In Christ. One of the great glories that's going to happen when the rapture takes place in a few days. No, I'm not dating it. I'm not putting a number to few. You can do that, but I'm not going to do it. But I know it's coming. One of the great things is Bertie's going to be able to see how handsome I really am. In an instant of time. She's going to look at Jose and run. No, I mean, she's going to look at Jose and say, "I love you, sweetheart. I didn't know you looked so good." She might say, "Get rid of that beard." Amen. That's going to be great. That's going to be great. Two things accomplish this: to get rid of the blinder and the blindness. Two things: prayer and the study of the Word of God. That's all. That's why the devil makes it so tough. You know what I do when I can't sleep? Start to pray, and the devil puts me to sleep. It's the best sleeping pill on earth. Yeah. You know when I can't find something? I pray. The devil reminds me of where I put things 15 years ago. Yeah. Yeah. The devil doesn't want us praying. And the devil doesn't want us reading the Word of God. He makes it seem difficult. Well, I can't find a single verse. I've looked for it. I've read this through many times. I won't say how many times, but more than 25. And I can't find a single verse where it says, "My word shall be a novel unto thee. Yea, it shall be pleasant for thee to read, and thou shalt love every word that's in it." It doesn't say that. Not in the King James and not in the NIV. It doesn't say it will be a novel to you. You will love every word that's written in. You will enjoy reading it. It doesn't say that. What it does say, it's alive. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Glory be to God. When I open this book, I am taken into the presence of God. Hallelujah. This takes me into the presence of God. This is alive. And even though when I'm reading it, it doesn't make any sense. When I'm reading it, I can't understand it. Then during the week, all of a sudden, the devil hits me with a trial or a problem or a temptation. Then the Holy Ghost grabs that word that I've deposited in my mind, and he resurrects it, and he beats the devil and sets him to flight. Amen. Through the Word of God, it's alive. It works. It works. And then prayer. When I go into the presence of God, hallelujah, the Bible states that he pulls my chair out and he sits me in God's presence. The devil can't come, hallelujah. It's me and God. I talk to him, he talks to me. Glory be to God. Amen. More time we spend with God, the greater our vision will be of the glory of God. Are you hearing me? More time with God, greater vision of the glory of God. We're all changing one way or another. Nobody's stagnant. We're all changing. We're either digressing or we're progressing. One of the two. You see this when you go to the Lord in prayer. Some of us walk into the presence of God in prayer and we act like we don't really know he's got all power. And we beg and beg and beg. Some people don't know that God's not deaf. And they go into the presence of the Lord. Hey, God! Yeah. And some people don't think God talks. So they never shut up long enough for him to say anything to them. Amen? Those are problems we have. See, the Bible says that when I walk into the presence of God, Exodus 25:22, there I will meet with you. And from above the mercy seat, that's the Ark of the Covenant, from between the two cherubims that are on either four corners of that ark, and there on the Ark of the Testimony, I will speak with you about all that I have to give you in commandment for the people of Israel. But for God to speak, I've got to be quiet. Hello? Hello? And that's tough sometimes. That is real tough. You see, he's seated on the Ark of the Covenant this morning and on the mercy seat. The veil has been torn, the Bible said. When he said it's finished, it was torn. From top to body, the bottom, the holies of holies is open. Hallelujah. Do I take advantage of this great privilege? Do I? See, the very moment I enter into my place of prayer, the very moment I bow my knee before his altar, the very moment I lift up my voice in prayer, God is present. Glory be to God. I don't have to beg for him to come. I just have to believe. He's there to put to work all his power on my behalf. Glory be to God. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. You see, because he wants me to be transformed. He wants me to be changed. He wants me to be liberated from the kingdom of darkness. He wants me to be set free from the stress and the anxiety that accompanies this life. But in order for that to happen, I got to die. Turn to somebody and say, die already. Die already. Yeah, yeah. I have to die in order to enter into his kingdom. I have to die with Christ. I am resurrected with Christ after I die with Christ. Christians today want to be resurrected without death. You can't be resurrected if you haven't died. Just like you can't be healed if you're not sick. You can't have God's provision, financial provision for you if you don't have a financial difficulty. You got to have the problem before you get the solution. Most of us would be scared to death if we saw the solution before the problem, because then we wouldn't want the problem. Hello? See, where is Christ's kingdom? Where is it? The Bible says in the text we read, he reigns over his kingdom. Where is his kingdom? His kingdom is in me and it's in you. Turn to somebody and say, you're the kingdom. All his power as king is in you and in me. Turn to somebody and say, you're the power. It always has been. It always will be. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Now to him who is able, oh, I love this, to do far more abundantly. What does abundantly mean? There's a hymn here. And the hymn is called More Abundantly. More abundantly, more abundantly, that I might have life, and more abundantly, more. What does abundantly mean? If you go to your bank and there's abundant money in your checking account, somebody say glory. Amen. There's abundant money in your checking account. If you have abundant children like Raul and Nasa, yeah. Emily says she's going to catch up with them and pass them. She's starting late, but she's going to make up for it in time and the way. Amen. Amen. See, now to him who is able to do, I love this, far more abundantly. Say that with me. Far more abundantly. Doesn't that sound good? Oh, that sounds good. And then look at what he says. Then all that we ask or think. Think abundantly. That's what God wants to give you. Think abundantly. That's what God wants to give you. According to the power at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. This power is in him, the power of the King of Kings. So what's the problem? The problem is my perspective. That's what the problem is. And I've said this before. See, I sometimes get in trouble because I'm not planning for the future. I'm planning for now. How many know now is of no value? Tomorrow is where it's at. See, because I can't change the past, right? Now, there's people running around talking about the past, thinking that the more they talk, the more they can change it. The past can't be changed, right? It can't be changed. You can pray and fast all you want. Someone told me when Biden was elected, they said, we're going to have trouble. I said, you don't know the half of it. Just read his resume and you'll know we're going to have incredible trouble. I said, well, we need to fast and pray. What for? That God would remove him. I said, no, it won't do any good. Don't pray for the past. Pray for the present. Pray that God give you the victory in the middle of the difficulty. And he has. Glory be to God. Amen? He has. You see, we need to realize this morning, we are children of a king. We're not children of a pauper. We're not children of a demon. We're children of a king. We're not at the mercy of the devil as a weak and confused child. No, we can stand up in faith, completely sure of who we are, resting in the glory and the power of the one that gave it to us. If he is king, if all power is his, if all the universe is his, if everything on earth and under the earth must bow before him, if this same king has taken up residence within me by his Holy Spirit, and if he is king and Lord of my life, yielding my present and future to him, reigning in me in all power and glory, of what should I be afraid? How many agree he's omnipotent? Raise your hand if you agree he's omnipotent. He has all power. Then what do we need to be afraid of? You see, all things are under his dominion and authority. And I'm his. Because we have the King of Kings living in our life by his Spirit. And even if we don't know and realize it, He's merciful. And he still gives us the benefits of glory. We have no idea what has happened in our life that he has spared us from. But when we get to glory, we will. My father on the 4th of July was driving his Kia pickup from the ambassador's house, the consul's house in Cartagena, home, when a young man that had been just given a 600 Yamaha motorcycle, and he got drunk celebrating his birthday, and he got on the motorcycle, came across the knoll, and hit my father head on. He was thrown several hundred feet beyond in the pavement and killed instantly. My father was put in jail, and his brothers swore that they would kill my father to redeem his blood, because the blood feud exists in Colombia. So they had to redeem their brother's blood by killing my father. Dad got out of jail, and several months later, one of the boys, his brothers, gets saved. And he comes to one of the people that knew Dad, and he says, "I need to know what kind of witchcraft the gringo has on him." And he said, "Why? He doesn't have any witchcraft on him. He belongs to God." Well, we had him in our sights with our rifle, and we tried to pull the trigger and it misfired. When we pointed it somewhere else, it fired. So we tried to pull it again and it misfired. We pointed it here and it fired. We tried to do it again and it misfired. So we quit, because we figured there was some witchcraft on him and we didn't want to get it. My father never knew what was happening. It wasn't until that brother told Dad what had happened and introduced him to that brother so that he could learn the story, that he knew, listen, there is times that God has gloriously set us free and delivered us, and we know nothing about it. But when we stand before him, we're going to realize how much he really was for us. We need to believe it, because the word says it this morning.
Amen.
Psalm 99, 1 and 3, the Lord reigns. Let the peoples tremble. He sits enthroned upon the cherubim. Let the earth quake. The Lord is great in Zion. He is exalted over all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. Holy is he. Psalm 93, 1 and 2, the Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed. He has put on strength as his belt. Yes, the world is established. Aha! Global warming people need to see this. That world there means cosmo. All created things in the Hebrew. That's what it means. So they need to read this. You need to write it down so that you can deal with them when they say that there's global warming. Yes, the world is established. And then God says this, it shall not be moved. Glory be to God. That's the Creator saying that. Are you hearing me? Amen. There's many times my wife will make wonderful desserts, cupcakes or cookies or everything, and I'll go to take one. And No. Those are to take to church, for children's church, or those are to give to Peter or Maureen or somebody, and I can't eat them. She made them, so she has the right to have the power over them. He made the world. He has all power over this world. Glory be to God.
Yes.
And I don't care how ignorant the scientist is, because that's what they are. There is no global warming. It doesn't exist, because this world belongs to him. Glory be to God. He set it in its place. The Bible says he maintains it with the power of his authority. So you read to them Psalm 93 verses 1 and 2. Yes, the world is established at the end of verse 1. It shall never be moved. Your throne is established from old. You are from everlasting. The testimony of every Christian should be, I know that Jesus reigns in glorious power. Say it with me. Jesus reigns. Say it. Jesus reigns. Jesus reigns. That's what we were singing about. Jesus reigns. Isaiah 52:7, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, and says in Zion, your God reigns. Hallelujah. We sing the chorus, our God reigns, our God reigns, our God reigns. Psalm 96:10, say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall not be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. When we worship God, His glory is ours. Can you say amen? When we worship God, His glory is ours. And with that glory, there's constant victory. Our actions have to prove this morning. Are you hearing me? Our actions have to prove this. I love the story of Elisha. His servant got all upset. Oh, they've surrounded us. All the armies of the enemy have surrounded us. And Elisha just prayed, Lord, just open his eyes. Let him see that the hills are covered with the hosts of heaven. Word came to some missionaries. They're coming in Africa. They're coming to kill you. The whole town is coming to kill you. And the missionary said to his family, his wife and his two children, he says, I want you to kneel here in the living room and we're going to pray and we're going to believe God. They came and they left. The missionary didn't know what had happened. Several months later, one of those that came got saved, and he said to the missionary, we don't know who you are, we don't know what you have, but we came to kill you, and your home was surrounded with these gigantic giants clothed in white, and they had flaming swords in their hand, and we ran for our lives. Are you hearing me this morning? God knows. He not only surrounds our homes with His chariots of fire and His armies of angels, but He's seated in the midst of them this morning on His white horse. He's the Prince of the armies of heaven, the Commander-in-Chief of all His hosts. Glory be to God. Psalm 24, 7 through 10, lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. He is the Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, and the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory, Selah. He's in the midst of you right now. He's in the midst of your home right now. And He reigns forever and ever. David saw it. In Psalm 68, O kingdoms of this earth, verses 32 and 33, sing to God, sing praises to the Lord, Selah. To Him who rides in the heavens, the ancient heavens, behold, He sends out His voice, His mighty voice. Isaiah saw it. In Isaiah 19:1, an oracle concerning Egypt, behold, the Lord is riding on a swift cloud this morning and comes to Egypt. The idols of Egypt will tremble at His presence. Every idol, every difficulty, every demonic strategy, every demon power that is arrayed against us will tremble at His presence. Glory be to God. The heart of the Egyptians will melt within them. How do you see Him this morning? Do you see Him camped around your house in glory? Do you see His armies dressed in white? Do you see Him in the midst of His army on a great white horse, ready for battle? Then I saw the heavens open, Revelation 19, verse 11, and behold, a white horse, the one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. He in righteousness does judge and make war. Glory be to God. See, my blindness has been healed, hear me, by the realization that Jesus is not just King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but He's my King of Kings and He's my Lord of Lords. I see Him. He's here. You see, I've been invited to a wedding. So have you. Amen? The main attraction will be the wedding. Glory be to God. We will be the bride. And I'm getting ready for that. Glory be to God. My wife's going to come to the piano. And we're going to sing an old chorus. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. His name is Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh, He is the King. Amen? Do you believe that? Stand to your feet if you believe that. Amen? Of course, in order to believe that, We have to go to the cross and ask Him to forgive us of our sins. If you're here this morning, you've never done that, while we sing this chorus, do it in the name of Jesus. Amen? He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. His name is Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh, He is the King. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. His name is Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh, He is the King. He is my King of kings. He is my Lord of lords. His name is Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh, He is the King. Father, thank you. Can you say that with me? Father, thank you. Father, thank you. Father, thank you for the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Thank you for putting Him in my home. Thank you for putting Him in my life. Thank you for putting Him enthroned in my workplace. Thank you for putting Him enthroned in my family. I give it all to you. I take that veil off. I take that doubt and unbelief and I throw it off in Jesus' name. I believe what the Word says. And I trust you in Jesus' name. Make yourself real to every heart and life this week. Lord, give us somebody we can lead to Christ this week, we pray. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen and amen. God richly bless you. Amen. Glory be to God.